He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday and Saturday week in review session of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And a certified financial planner. I'm sure people out there got a lot of questions about this market here in 2022. This is not your usual market at all. And there's a lot of things that you need to know that are going on, and we'll try to point those out to you here during the next 45, 50 minutes that we have with you. I've been in the market. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I was an analyst writing up research reports on individual companies in the early days of my career. I've seen a couple. I'm a veteran of a couple of big bear markets. This is the third bear market now that I've witnessed. The one in 2000 where the NASDAQ went down 79%. I witnessed the financial crisis where the Dow went down 53%. I've never been one that was a buy and hold and hope and pray when markets start to go down. I believe in being active as opposed to being passive. And we'll talk a little bit about just how active we've been here in 2022. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Both of us have more than two decades in the business. Barry's father was in the business. I'm sure there was plenty of talk at home around the dinner table.
Yeah, plenty of dinner table discussions. Yeah.
Especially on the bad days in the market.
They still continue.
Yes, the dog would always run and hide when the Dow was down more than 200 or 300 points when Dad came home. But anyways, I mean, I've written a newsletter for the last 23 years every week. Send that out every Saturday. You can get 2 weeks free. That goes to my clients. I designed the newsletter for my client. Number one, I first designed it for me so that I went down every nook and cranny and corner and dark alley and bright alley of the market every single Thursday and Friday to make sure that I'm not missing anything in the market. And then I started sending it out to my clients so they knew exactly where I stood and why. And they could see every week the kind of research that I've done to make the decisions that I've made and what I've based those decisions upon. And then I have a large following of individual investors that are DIY, do-it-yourselfers. And I started making the newsletter available to them on a subscription basis. And then I went a step further and said, well, you know what? We're going to have six different portfolios in the newsletter, from the most conservative to out there, you know, the emerging growth area of the market and everything in between. We focus a lot on big growth stocks and dividend-paying stocks, but we also look for the big growers of tomorrow also. And every time I do a trade in one of those portfolios, I send out a live alert on those portfolios. And so I have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow me. I also invented my own ranking system many years ago. It's called the BestStocksNowApp.com, BestStocksNowApp.com. It currently has 6,037 ETFs mutual funds, and mostly stocks, individual stocks in the database. And in my career as a professional money manager, you know, I've seen all the different, many of the different styles of money management. And, you know, in the end, there's two major camps. There's the camp that is more on the momentum side of things, kind of the investor's business daily, the West Coast offense, I would call it. But also, you know, looking at momentum, but looking for new companies that, you know, are have new products that are dominant in their industry. And then there's the really strict and stodgy value investors that buy stocks that they think are well below their intrinsic value, and they're willing to wait, in some cases, years for that intrinsic value to be realized. Warren Buffett would be a very good example of that. Value investing recently has fallen out of favor a lot. And I don't know, I think because of the fast pace of today's world, I think because of the ease of trading, no cost for trades, I think that the momentum side of the equation has become a more popular. But I've discovered that I like a little bit of both. I mean, valuations, my grading system for individual stocks begins with the five-year target price and how much upside that there is in that stock. Many times I'll see a good chart or a stock that's got some good momentum going on, and I'll take a look at the valuation and I'll say, wow, that thing is way overpriced. I saw a lot of those in 2020. There was a lot of speculation going on in the market. People had too much time on their hands sitting at home. They had too many unemployment checks or whatever kinds of checks, stimulus checks coming from the government. They ran Bitcoin up to 66,000 that year, and, you know, trillion-dollar companies were all of a sudden showing up in the stock market. There was heavy action in the Bitcoin miners and the battery, lithium battery stocks, the electric vehicle stocks, but the valuations were horrible on those companies and the price that people were paying. Okay, so valuation is very important. But it's not an end-all. I mean, you can sit on a value, a seemingly undervalued stock, like an AT&T or an IBM. I'm sure those are some stocks that fit a lot of the value investors' numbers, types of criteria in these days. But having said that, you've also got to have a little bit of momentum on your side. So I like to bring both to the table. In my database of 6,037 at beststocksnowapp.com, those two are combined where possible. Valuations aren't always possible. You can't put a value on an ETF. You can't put a value on a biotech without any earnings. So we have to kind of rely on the momentum side. But at the end of the day, those 6,033 are sifted every day. And I look for anything that has a B-plus or better grade. Right now, there's only 233 stocks out of 6,033 that meet my criteria. And then thirdly, they've got to have a good chart. I look at hundreds and hundreds of stock charts every day of these stocks, stocks that I own, stocks that have good momentum, stocks that are at the top of my list. And right now the list continues to be dominated by a couple of areas of the market. Number one, the energy stocks. That's about the only sector in the market that is working this year. Tech has been horrible. You've got the NASDAQ down 30% so far this year, and it's not getting any better. And the energy stocks have been one area. The other area of the market that has been fruitful this year have been the inverse funds, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Well, Barry, when we come back, we're going to go over the year-to-date scorecard, why we're at these levels so far this year. We'll go a bit over the drama in the UK this past week. Interest rates just raging right now, higher in the U.S., the big yield curve inversion, Goldman Sachs saying it's time to be cautious. Jeff Bezos, CEO, former CEO of Amazon, telling us to batten down the hatches. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of worry out there right now. Is this going to be another 2000, huh?
Yeah, scorecard. I mean, scorecard for a number of prime ministers in the UK this year is on its way to being three. But
yes, and the shortest one of all time, 49 days. And, you know, it does impact. This is a connected world, and it does impact the rest of the world. A lot of days in the past couple of weeks, the market has taken its cue from what's going on in the UK. So is Bezos right? Is it time to batten down the hatches? Is this one of the great buying opportunities of all time? Or does this market have more downside risk ahead? We'll do our best to answer those questions when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite of Gunderson Capital Management. Second quarter of today's The Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, week in review, and it has been an active week. One of our biggest mottos here at Gunderson Capital is to be active and not passive, okay? You know, just as a veteran of three big bear markets, I saw a lot of passivity back in the year 2000 with folks holding on to a false sense of hope that those tech stocks, those dot-coms would come back, and before they knew it, you know, they were down 98%, 97% from where they bought them. The overall NASDAQ was down 79%. There was a lot of hope, hold, and praying going on back then, and many of those stocks just didn't come back. So to just sit there passively during that was not a good strategy. Yes, the NASDAQ did eventually come back, but it took 13 years for the NASDAQ to get back to 5,000 again, which it was at in March of 2000. And then in the year 2007, I started to see the earnings estimates for the following years decline. And a lot of the financials and the banks throwing up caution signs about their loan portfolios. There was a runaway housing market at that time, and too many people chasing too few homes, and we had a massive financial crisis, which took the S&P down 53% at that time. And the earnings for the S&P bottomed out 2009 at about $60 per share. Well, those earnings have been growing ever since 2009, but now we're coming to a crossroads in earnings. While those earnings were growing since 2009 for the S&P 500, clear up to probably 208 we're going to come in at, or 225 rather, this year, you've also had the market following along because the market follows earnings. But now as earnings are starting to top out, we may be looking at peak earnings for the S&P. We may start to see a decline. The market's also going to follow those earnings downhill the other way. Okay, the first shoe to drop. Here we are with just a couple months, a little over 2 months left in the year, 2 months and 1 week. The S&P's down 23%. The biggest reason the S&P 500 is down 23% this year is not a decline in earnings. No, it's a decline in the multiple of those earnings. The forward PE of the S&P 500 began the year at 23. So we were multiplying earnings by 23 to come up with target prices for the S&P because we had a very low interest rate. As interest rates have gone higher, what's happened to that multiple of the S&P 500? It has gone from 23 down to 16. Barry, give us, as a chartered financial analyst, why, what relationship is there between interest rates and stocks?
Yeah, well, the as interest rates go up, all else being equal, you know, how much folks are willing to pay for those earnings, right? So at a PE multiple of 23, essentially you're paying $23 for a dollar of earnings. And so when and where those earnings occur, right, also matters. So, you know, the further out those earnings, you know, are realized, we've got to discount those back to today's dollars. And when you're, you know, bringing back, it's kind of the future value, you know, present value, future value of money, kind of finance 101. In class we had fancy calculators that do that for you, but, you know, the higher the interest rate, the less that future cash flow, is worth in today's dollars. And so as interest rates, what I think we started right around 1.5, it's crazy to look at, but yeah.
I'll give you that.
At 1.5-ish, right? Somewhere
we
right there.
We began the year, with the 10-year, let's see here. Where is that at? Right. Okay. We began the year, about 1.5, and now we're almost, we're at 4.25 right
now. Yeah, 4.25. I mean, so that's, that's a huge move in the bond market in a very, very short period of time. And in doing so, I mean, you're looking at a, you know, that's a 30, going from a 23 multiple to a 16, that's a 30%. That means people are paying 30% less for those earnings on a PE ratio basis, which explains a lot of the decline that we've seen in the market.
Yes, and we warned that decline was coming in the PE ratios because we started to see interest rates rise about a year and a half ago, and the Fed started to signal unequivocally that they were going to start hiking rates, that they were going to have to start hiking rates because inflation. And we warned to get off the railroad tracks of the high PE stocks. That was the first wave to hit. You've now got the NASDAQ down 32% year to date. Okay, and what did you say? The multiple has shrunk by
30%, right?
Yeah,
from 20 average 23 to 16. So we lost seven times, right?
Yes. So it's not that AMD's earnings have collapsed or Microsoft's earnings have collapsed or Google's earnings have collapsed. It's that the multiple that we're paying for those earnings has contracted from big multiples where we began the year, because they were trading at multiples above the market. Yes, the S&P started the year at 23 times forward earnings, but those tech stocks were at 35 and 40 times earnings, so they were more vulnerable. And then you get out even further. I mean, the ARK funds are down 62% this year. They're out way out there on the it will take to someday have earnings. Those are long duration stocks. They were really in the freight train coming around the tracks ran over them a long time ago. And we warned to get out of that. We took opposite positions in those areas of the market. We didn't own ARK. We owned SARC, which was inverse. It does just the opposite. If her fund is down 62% this year, SARC is up 62%. Now, listen to what I have to say next. The first shoe to drop was the multiple. Okay, that was a massive warning that interest rates were going higher, multiples were going lower, the bond funds were in big trouble, big trouble. They've been hit too all this year. Now, the second part of the target price equation is we take a multiple, which is shrunk from 23 to 16, and we multiply it by the anticipated earnings over the next 12 months. Well, now there's risk to those anticipated earnings. You know, when we began, we're now in earnings season. When we began this quarter, we were hoping the analyst estimates were 10% higher this earnings season than the comparable quarter last year. We're now like 1 or 2% after we've had a small sampling of companies come in. We could actually see the earnings expectations now, the second part of the equation, the second shoe to drop, they're now at risk. So we don't believe that this right now is a fantastic buying opportunity. We think there's further downside risk to these markets at this level. But wait, we've got inverse funds to talk about. We'll be right back. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. This is professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson, president of Gunnarsson Capital Management. I started a virtual firm a long time ago. I started my firm, Gunnarsson Capital Management, in 2006. I was in the San Diego area for a long, long time. And then my wife and I, we decided a few years ago to move all the way across the country to Charleston, South Carolina, which is a beautiful, really beautiful historic city. Good food, good fishing, good music, you know. Anyways, I've had a virtual firm. My show has been heard across America for the last 20-plus years. My newsletter goes out every Saturday, really all across the world. We have clients in almost every state, most of the states in America. And we do it virtually because we're more, efficient, not having to commute every day back and forth. It's actually been really good for me. And, of course, as a client of ours, you know, we're able to keep in touch with you through the daily radio show, through the weekly newsletter. Anytime there's a big change in the market, we send out a blast through the email. And you don't have to drive downtown and fight for a parking spot. You can have a virtual appointment with us via phone, via Zoom. It's a good way. It's been a very good way to run a business like ours that is active and not passive. The model in the business today has pretty much gone to the passive side of things, where you do an asset allocation that's based on your age and maybe a little bit of your risk tolerance thrown in there. But you know what? When the bond market's going south, this is the worst bond market sell-off I've ever seen. We warned to get off the bond fund tracks a long time ago. This is a very rare year, Barry, where a 60-40, which is 60% bonds, 40% stocks, which is pretty much the asset allocation formula for a 60-year-old. What has that 60-40 allocation done this year, you were telling me the other day?
Yeah, so this is like probably about a month and a half ago. It was down a little over 20%, right? And so, you know, my guess is, you know, currently, probably, especially the way that that Treasury rates have moved. I mean, they probably moved to almost 1% since then. But my guess is roughly right at down about 23-24% on a 60-40 mix. And between equities and bonds, and the reason you put different assets together, right, is that, you know, one should zig while the other one's zagging. Well, this year, of course, they've both moved very much together. And you know, whereas adding bonds or adding other things that don't look like stocks in the past would, bring your overall risk level, risk return relationship of the portfolio would improve it. This year, it's actually added more volatility. So,
yes,
very a unique period, and we get these from time to time. But very severe this year. I think you were telling us what on a Treasury U.S. Treasury bond funds down 15-ish so percent
as of yesterday. Let's see, it's now down. The IEF, which is just a plain vanilla 10-year treasury, down 17.6% year to date.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, today you've got interest rates going up. Now, I'm going to switch to a subject that we've mentioned here a few times. There are inverse funds that have been around for a long time. I mean, they're available. A hedge fund uses hedges to hedge their risk in certain areas. And the inverse funds are available to individual investors and professional investors like me to use as a hedge from time to time. So let me just give you a couple for instances, okay? The S&P 500 this year is down as of Thursday. It's down 22%, all right, since the beginning of the year. Well, that's just using the ETF SPY. SPY is the S&P 500 long side of the equation. Well, SPY has a counterparty. In fact, there's several of them that do the opposite of the S&P 500. SH is probably the most popular one. SH is a big ETF. It currently has $3.5 billion in it, okay, and it does just the opposite of the S&P 500. So while the S&P 500, actually it's down 23% so far this year, SH is up 23% this year. These aren't meant to be long-term holdings, but when there's crisis, when you're in a rising interest rate environment, that is not good for the bond market or the stock market. SH comes in real handy as a hedge against the S&P 500.
And it's a mathematical, you know, the other benefit there is it's a mathematical hedge. I mean, you can put that, you know, you can put different things together and actually, you know, mathematically figure out, you know, how much market exposure you have. Versus, you know, over the years, right, it's asset allocation. It's, hey, you know, add some bonds to it, add some alternative investments, right? These things, you know, should, or, you know, add some gold, right? These things should, you know, buoy the portfolio when the equity markets are declining. Well, you know, it's one of those things, you don't know that for sure. You're hoping, right, that putting those things together will help cushion that fall. But, you know, with an inverse ETF, you can actually, you know, you actually mathematically know it, what the reaction is going to be versus hoping what the reaction is going to be.
Yes, you can do a little bit of what if types of, you know, scenarios. Now, we go to the Dow. The Dow is down 16.5. Now, it's down less than the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is down double that.
Yeah, 34-ish, right?
Yeah, 32.2 as of yesterday, and the Dow is down 16.5. Well, the stocks in the Dow basically have lower P.E. ratios than the NASDAQ, and that shows up that the NASDAQ has been hit harder because the higher the P.E. ratio, the more you got hit when the multiple contraction, which is still taking place. Every time interest rates go up, multiples contract even more. The higher the multiple. And Amazon, for instance, has a multiple today of 100 right now. Okay, that's the P.E. ratio of Amazon. It's much more vulnerable than an Exxon that has a P.E. ratio of 7 or 8 right now. That's another reason why you've seen the Dow do much better, but it's still down 16%. Dog is the inverse of the Dow. With the S&P 5 or the Dow down 16.5%, Dog is up 16.5%. But there's not, I mean, there's a whole lot more money on the long side of the market. We were looking the other day, the average money manager has about a 6% cash position right now, which tells me that they got 94% still invested. So that's why you've got Fidelity Magellan, for instance. It's down 31% year to date. You know, the Growth Fund of America. These are plain vanilla, big growth funds with a lot of money in them. They remain pretty much fully invested during a time like this. Whereas a money manager like myself, I'm unconstrained. I don't have to. The rules of my fund are there are no rules except to be a good fiduciary for my clients. I don't have to own a certain percentage of large cap stocks or emerging market stocks or bonds. Or I can go wherever I want to go in the market because I'm unconstrained. And for that reason, while Magellan is, you know, probably 90 to 95% fully invested, we have 55% now sitting in cash, and we have for a while. In addition to that, we have several inverse funds working as hedges in a bear market that continues in a downtrend. The NASDAQ's down 32% so far this year. PSQ is the inverse of the NASDAQ. It's up 32%. And you say, well, why don't more people use these inverse funds? Well, you know, a lot of the bigger firms, the wirehouse firms, don't allow their advisors to use them, or a lot of people are just not aware that they're out there. But they have to be used very judiciously. We talk, come back, we're talking about the bond market and the inverse of the bond market. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, an active, not passive firm, a virtual firm that allows you to set up an online appointment. We have clients all across America. We talk to people every single day. I have my newsletter goes out every Saturday. All across America and the world. I have quite a few followers, a lot of followers in Canada, a lot of followers over in Europe. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. It only goes out to my clients and my subscribers. But if you would like to sample it for 2 free weeks, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Now, we saw interest rates rising. I mean, it didn't take a genius. They told us they're going to hike interest rates. The Fed told us that. They signaled it. And that means that they were sounding the horn, Jerome Powell at the helm of the freight train coming around the tracks and sitting right in the middle of the tracks. Number one, were long duration, high PE stocks. A good proxy for that area of the market would be Cathie Wood's ARK Fund. ARKK is now down 63% year to date. She's lost 2/3 of her value. And you say, well, why didn't she get off the tracks and run and move to cash when those interest rate? Because she's constrained. She's a constrained investor. She's constrained by the fact that she runs an innovation fund, and it's got to be full of innovative stocks that are innovative. The question is, you know, will they make it? Will they be profitable? They have great ideas that could help, you know, change the way we do business and medicine and a lot of different areas, transportation, rockets, travel, spaceship travel, all kinds of, but they're long duration stocks that most don't have earnings or any prospects for earnings anytime soon. Tesla would be a big, you know, she does own a lot of Tesla, which is a profitable company. But that area of the market down 63%. Well, there's an opposite to that. There's SARC, which is inverse her fund. Now we step up the ladder. We talked about the NASDAQ being down 32% so far this year. PSQ is up 32% so far this year. I go back to the Big Short. Okay, I was around in 07, 08. A lot of us could see what was coming. There was a cataclysmic event coming at that time The financial companies, the Countrywides, the Bear Stearns, the Lehman, were holding a lot of this mortgage paper that was not AAA. It had been given out, these loans, to folks. The rating agencies had marked it AAA. It was not going to end well. Well, the Big Short and other people, they figured out how to make money off a scenario they knew was going to happen. Well, we saw this scenario especially being not good for bond funds. Okay, holding an individual bond, you have the luxury of holding on to that bond until it matures. Yes, it's going to go up and down with interest rates along the way, but if you hold it till it matures, you're going to get back the principal, as long as the company's still around. But a bond fund is absolutely at risk of interest rates, because those managers hold a big giant portfolio of bonds that fluctuate daily based on interest rates. And like we say, the IEF, which is just treasuries, it's down 17% year to date. We own an individual bond fund, which has about 7 or 8 individual bonds taken from our Best Stocks Now list. We plan on holding those to maturity unless we have a big gain. We did cash in several bonds over the last couple years that had big gains in them. But we hedge that portfolio with TBT. TBT is an invert. Look at that again today. It's up another 3% today.
Yeah, TBT is a bond godsend.
It's a bond godsend. It is inverse the bond market, and it's also 2-to-1 inverse the bond market, and it picks on the 20-year plus. Okay, the longer the bond, the more subject it is to interest rate risk. So it was a perfect, place to put some money to hedge a bond portfolio. That thing, since we bought it, I'm just going to look at it here since the beginning of the year. I know it's more than doubled since the beginning of the year. TBT began the year. Let me get my chart up here. It began the year at about $18 per share. Actually, I got the exact number right here. Began the year this year, $16.89 per share. Today it's hitting $38, so that's more than a double.
Yeah, 114.5%.
Wow, and it's up today another 3.4%. It's hitting a new all-time high. So our position in that particular ETF has doubled this year, while the individual bonds have gone down in value on paper. This has almost, it hasn't quite leveled it off to where the bond, but the average bond fund is down between 17 and 20% so far this year on paper.
And how it saves you is the fact that, you know, if that's 10%, we have it at 10, it's kind of set at 10% of the bond portfolio. So essentially, that thing's up 114%. Well, it's adding 11.4% to the plus side of our bond portfolio, which is helping offset, right? Like you said, any paper losses, right, on the individual bond side. So it's held up very well compared to a lot of your bond funds out there.
I'll say. And, the same is true for stock funds. The average growth fund is down over 30% so far this year. You can look it up yourself. Pick any one of these big growth funds that have been around for a long, long time. Obviously, Fidelity Magellan is a proxy, okay, for large cap growth funds. The fund run by Peter Lynch, it's down over 30%. Well, anyways, you can give us a call, set up an appointment. Maybe you're not with an active manager and you would like to be with somebody that's a little more active. 855-611-BEST or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.